Welcome to Fusion Fantasy Football. All right, welcome. We are Thursday Night Football Chat. I am your host, Joshua, as usual, and I am joined today by the illustrious Skeletor himself on Twitter, at Mr. Mean Mode, Brad Reyes of the quantedge.com. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk a little bit of fantasy football with you this evening on short notice.
It was short notice. I got stood up by my own Clock Dodgers fellow website guy who I'm playing in Scott Fishbowl this week. That would be the normal format. I would have that whoever I'm playing on. But he, of course, is too busy talking to the main man, Neil, over at Clock Dodgers tonight. So that's all right. I got you. I got an upgrade.
Well, yeah, I'd like to think so now.
Yeah.
In my own little ego somewhere.
It's his loss. So we're just going to quick cover some of the interesting games and matchups and roster decisions that we had to make this week. Right now, we got the game going on right now. My Patriots are beating up on the Colts, as we love to do. There was a brief scare there, but I see Sony's back in the game, so that's good. That did not look pretty. I was just watching that as we were entering. Mm. I was like, I have him on a few teams. I was like, no. All right, let me settle down here. My heart was pounding there for a minute. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, because I'm not actually watching the game. I'm watching the scores happen. And then, yeah, you mentioned that, and I was like, oh no. Not the knee.
I shouldn't be watching it. It's not good, probably. Right.
If I'm boring, you have something to do, you know.
Well.
Turn the sound on the TV.
Exactly. So we both picked out kind of our league of record, interesting leagues that we have that we want to talk about. And we were going to cover some of the big games, big matchups that probably a lot of people have players in, a lot of decisions to make. Right off the bat, I think we both have Big Ben Roethlisberger in a game against the Atlanta Falcons, who apparently forgot how to play defense.
Fortunately for us, huh?
I love it.
Because, being kind of a cash game guy on the TQE website, there's not a whole lot of other games I'm worried about stacking this week than the Pittsburgh and Atlanta game. If that doesn't work out, then I'll just jump off a bridge.
That was my strategy last year. It was just Dalton and Boyd, Dalton and Boyd everywhere.
Yeah, that was, wow. Yeah, Boyd has really come around this year, though. I really like it. Man, that's awesome. I mean, he's like a mini AJ Green.
Yeah, and I was a hater last year, I'll be completely honest. And I was looking at the depth chart this year, and then, of course, they got rid of LaFell, and everyone was thinking, oh, John Ross, it's going to happen. But I was John Ross hater, too. So I was like, well, that leaves Boyd. So I actually did grab him when he cost next to nothing on some dynasties. And then in this league of record, which it's only a 10 team, it's a keeper league. It's interesting to me because it's I commission it, and it's we get an actual live draft where we get all the guys together. So that's always a little special then when you can do that. But it's a little bit more of a deep waiver than a lot of leagues. And I was still able to get him in that league, though.
No, I was going to mention something about John Ross because I do a lot of best balls, and I bought the John Ross crap hook, line, and sinker. And I'm watching Boyd put up all these numbers, and I'm like, yeah, I picked wrong. I got screwed.
Well, luckily, didn't he have a touchdown last week and then promptly hurt his ankle?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those. It's like, yeah, he got a touchdown, but oh, now he's hurt. All right, swell. Yeah.
That's like last year. When I was stashing Deontay Foreman for like weeks and weeks, and I finally was like, this is the week, and I started him, and he got a great game, but of course he tore his Achilles on that touchdown run. So I was like, well, at least I got one good game out of him.
Yeah. I feel terrible. I mean, I feel terrible laughing at it, but yeah, the situation's
I know.
It's unreal.
I still support him. I was off of him as far as drafting this year, but in Dynasty I've been saying, yeah, get him later in the season, but those Achilles scare me. So hopefully he can come back after the full year, because he needs a full year to recover, and that it's not even going to be a year until end of October, beginning of November. So I don't know how we can expect him to be productive this year.
Yeah, he's not going to be.
Well, as bad as Lamar Miller looks, maybe he will in December. Maybe he will. So it's worth a stash if you've got an IR slot or anything like that. I'm all about using those IR slots. So we have Atlanta and Pittsburgh, and the options are generally obvious, but is there anyone in this game that it seems like you can play anyone in these games? Is there somebody who's lesser owned that you can think of that may be a standout?
Lesser owned. I mean, obviously I could just go to Calvin Ridley, but I think that's a little easy. Because he's been getting a lot of touchdowns, but he's not been getting very many touches. But I think in this game, I wouldn't be shocked to see Julio Jones, Senu, and Ridley all getting a touchdown. So I think in this scenario, Senu might be the guy who's under the radar a little bit.
I can buy that. I can definitely buy that, because Ridley's barely getting more than 50%. I think it's like 54% snap share.
Right.
If he keeps scoring and doing what he does with what he's getting, then sure. But yeah, it's hard to count on when you're not getting volume.
Yeah, he's like this year's, because he's like this year's Will Fuller for me. Very efficient, but yeah, that's not gonna hold up.
Well, Will Fuller was doing it so far this year too, so that's who knows. Hey, back in the day when I first started playing, one of the players that I remember that I had in a lot of leagues that I liked for a number of years was Roddy White opposite Julio. So I remember distinctly that, you know, having those two guys out there was a net positive, so that they could end up helping each other. And Julio's, other than touchdowns, having a great year.
Yeah, Julio's getting the fantastic volume you kind of expect. But yeah, I mentioned it on my TQE rankings for a draft that yeah, there's like a pact there between Sarkisian and Ryan to not get him the ball in the end zone. I have never seen a team try harder to keep a great player out of the end zone. While I love him for volume, I mean, he's certainly, you know, quote unquote, due for a touchdown. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Julio's production. It's a complete mystery to me.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get it figured out, and he's bound to get one of those long ones to break. But I mean, what was it? Game one, they basically pulled him out for all four goal line attempts. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm thinking that they've been getting Ridley's been wide open on a few plays. So clearly, Julio Jones has been a great decoy in some situations, but that's not what you want from Julio Jones.
Now, Ben Roethlisberger had a bit of a down game the other night, but Ravens, I think, have a pretty good defense, especially pass. So I guess we're expecting a big bounce back game from him.
Yeah, I like him at home against a much weaker defense. The Ravens games are always a lot chippier, and you know they don't really break out necessarily for any one individual player very well. So I love him against Atlanta. But wow, yeah, that Ravens game was such a drag compared to the other games he's been in.
It was a letdown, I think, from kind of the expectations that had been building up. On the Pittsburgh side, as far as a lesser-owned guy, are we going to see James Washington? Maybe. Is this the game, maybe?
Yeah, they're talking about their need of a deep threat. So, yeah, I could see him possibly getting involved a little bit more in this kind of a you know, it's a prestige game for Atlanta. I mean, it's an out-of-conference team. A lot of teams want to beat the Steelers, and you want to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. So I think that you're going to have to – I think Atlanta is going to put up such a fight that Pittsburgh is really going to have to look at the end of their bench and open that playbook up and get the ball to like a guy like Washington up the field a little bit more.
And on the other hand, Atlanta is pretty weak up the middle, and Switzer's been very involved lately.
Yeah, he's been the surprise with the Steelers. I thought he was just an afterthought coming in. So I'm excited to see what he can do in the slot because a lot of talent there. But when you look at Juju Smith-Schuster and AB, I guess he just gets lost in the mix real easy from a fantasy perspective.
Right, right. Anyone else in that matchup that is interesting to you?
Well, James Conner. I mean, this is kind of a make or break game for him because this is a perfect situation for receiving a running back, and he's really good at receiving the ball and doing something with it in space. But the downside is that his production has been on the decline ever since game one. So I don't know where he fits into the offense, and it looks like they're incorporating the tight end in more of the role that they were giving to Lev Bell.
Right.
You know, as that banger guy who gets the red zone touches and kind of goes up the middle for him as an extra slot receiver.
That's an interesting point. As Vance McDonald has gotten more involved, and even the game against Tampa Bay with Jesse James, that was the first time we started to see Connor's usage slip. He's still out there for snaps, but they are just not giving him the ball as often.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the snaps are there. It's just, you know, how they've been running their offense. It just hasn't been. I mean, I could see why they're not using him like Lev Bell, because Lev Bell's, yeah, a superior talent. But John Connor's not that far off from what I've seen. Now, obviously, I don't watch their practices or whatnot. So, I really do like John Connor, and I'm kind of hoping that he has a big game, not in a, kind of based on the narrative that Lev Bell's coming back. Well, maybe the team wants to say, well, we don't need him. I mean, when Lev Bell wasn't in the first game, they fed Connor. Connor had a huge game, and we all kind of got him off of waivers at that point. And I see a possibility for that kind of a boom.
Well, what are your any thoughts on Lev Bell himself? If he does come back, like right now the rumors are that he's going to wants to come back during that week 7 or after the week 7 bye, so he's there for the week 8 game. And of course, everyone knows the NFL trade deadline is right after that. Is he coming back in good faith to play, or is he still maybe hoping for a trade?
He says he's coming back and he'd like to remain a Steeler, which at this point, I don't know if that's really in the Steelers' best interest. I mean, if I'm the Steelers, I would have traded him like 3 weeks ago. I mean, that's not a healthy relationship. And, you know, you're already getting to the point where Ben Roethlisberger's maybe got a couple of years left. You can start looking for another running back. I mean, running backs aren't hard to find, and it's not really. I mean, I love Lev Bell, and I want to see him get paid, but I just don't see how the Steelers really benefit from keeping him around if they can move him. And, you know, you don't have to get a first round pick for him to get value. You can get a second and a third.
And maybe a player.
And I think, yeah, maybe a player. I mean, you know, that's another thing. So, I mean, if you can get an established player and a high pick, yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat, because he's one injury away from, you know, really soaking you for the rest of his for whatever he's guaranteed on the contract.
Right, on the tag. Because he has to sign that even for the trade to go through, which is maybe what's stopped a trade from already happening, is he was saying, well, it's too soon. I'm not going to go play for them anyway. But that's a tough situation. I had Bell myself in a couple leagues, my main keeper league here. And right off the bat, there he is sitting on my bench. Luckily, I had Connor too, so I think Connor's a great option for future, for Dynasty. It's clear that the Steelers like to use one back, and so far, I don't know why it wouldn't be him going into next year.
Right.
But, it's not much to say there. Keep an eye on it. If you have him, I think your window to do anything with him is almost gone now. You almost have to hold on to him. I was able to trade him away last week when there was hopes of a trade, so I kind of cashed in on that. So right now everyone's heard the week 7, so it's almost like he's an injured player who's not supposed to return for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's impossible to get value for Lev at this now that he's like pulled this hand, you know, pulled the pin out of the grenade of I'm coming back. So the Steelers, yeah, they're probably just going to go ahead and run him into the ground this season. I don't see them making the trade, even though my first instinct is to trade. Like you said, with the tag, it's making it a little bit harder to do.
when he, if he does come back for the Steelers and signs and playing for the Steelers, no trade, do you think you're saying they probably just go right back to him 100%?
Well, I think at that point, what if they got to lose? They know what kind of talent he is.
Right.
You know, if I'm the Steelers, yeah, I mean, why take a chance of getting a Connor hurt if I really see him as the successor?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm serious about using him next year, I mean, I'm going to make sure I keep guys like John and Connor and even Jalen Samuels, like, from getting any sort of knee injuries or whatnot.
Which ironically just proves Bell's point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Bell's wrong in any way. I mean, it's just one of those business situations. That's how the business is. And, you know, that's how their union negotiated the contracts, unfortunately.
Right.
I'm all for the football players being paid. It's certainly not that issue. But just from a fantasy perspective, I mean, you have to be a little more pragmatic.
Yeah, I think something just needs to be done specifically with the franchise tag and injury. You know, if they get a season injury, if you put them on IR, you're on the hook for them next year too, or some kind of penalty or something to give the teams a little bit of hesitancy. And otherwise, they're just going to, like you said, dig them into the ground just every play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it. I do think if James Washington is on your waivers and you have a spot for him to stash him, I mean, this is the defense. Even if you're just going to turn around and sell him, I would want him on my team if I have a spot, definitely, just in the chance that he goes off this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, Connor and, like I said, Jalen Samuels would be great dynasty stashes too.
Yeah, Jalen Samuels, we haven't seen it all, but who's to say he won't show up next year?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying he's a star waiting to happen. I'm not saying he even really sees the field very much, but in case of an injury to somebody like James Connor, the Terminator reference right there, John Connor. But yeah, with Jalen Samuels, his talent was very was interesting on display this preseason. He kind of like John Kelly, you know, a good player in a situation that they just don't need him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's just going to sit there on the bench, and he could benefit you in some way.
All right, hopefully he doesn't go to waste. A couple of running backs. Another kind of difficult situation is over in Denver. The Broncos have Royce Freeman, who everyone was getting excited about going into the season. He had a couple big preseason games, and then out of nowhere, week one, here comes Philip Lindsay to ruin all your hopes and dreams. How do you picture this? What's the usage going forward? Can you play Royce above anything more than a flex going forward? Or
yeah, right now I consider him a flex. I picked him in drafts way too high. I think for me, he was a fourth rounder. I really bought into the possibility of some bell cow narrative there. And I actually thought Booker was going to be the guy, him leeching some passing work away from Freeman. But it turned out this Philip Lindsay kid is actually very good. And they did a great job of hiding him in the preseason. They did a great job of great poker face, frankly, of not putting his name was not out there.
I had heard of him and seen a couple of videos and talk on places like Roto Underworld had mentioned him before about how he wasn't invited to the combine and they were showing his profile on Player Profiler. But yeah, exactly. It's like they hid him on purpose.
Yeah, that's going to make trying to read draft Twitter next year a lot harder, isn't it? Every time I see a guy, yeah, like, well, he's a third or second round running back, and he's up against a guy who was undrafted. Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter anymore. Draft capital just went right out the window.
Yeah, the NFL maybe figuring it out. I don't know. I don't have any Lindsay myself, but you have him this one league. You're starting him alongside Elliott, I believe you said. Was there any decisions you had to make there? I think I saw Kerryon down there. Who do you have more faith in going forward, Kerryon or Lindsay for this season?
Kerryon Johnson isn't getting the volume I'd like to see out of Detroit because he is the best running back they have in Detroit. If they would up his usage to where it should be, and just quit trying to shoehorn LeGarrette Blount in there, I think he jumps up above Philip Lindsay, and you know, he's got that job to himself. But we haven't seen that yet. Philip Lindsay, like I said, draft capital is out the window, so he's been making the plays. So I mean, I can't really argue against him too much.
The comparison I've been hearing is it's kind of a, I don't know, a mini version, a 75% version of Kamara and Ingram last year, maybe.
Yeah, it's that kind of situation. And but Philip Lindsay's actually been decent between the tackles. He's been surprised. I mean, this has been kind of the year of the smaller running back being used in the red zone more, and it's been a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, well, I'm all for that. I've been a proponent for that because I don't know why it doesn't make sense, because they just, I mean, we saw that with the Deion Lewis with the Patriots, that it just opens up the offense. We've seen on the other side, we've seen the Atlanta Falcons, you know, remember week one at the goal line, four plays in a row, can't get it in. Because when you're loaded up and Julio Jones is, you know, on the field and your running back can only run right down the middle, everyone knows where you're going. So when you have that receiving threat who has a little wiggle, can make somebody, can evade someone, first tackle, it really opens up what's already tight in the red zone.
Yeah, I think that the scat back in the red zone is that's the future of you know, well, that's the future. I mean, that's the reality right now. It's not even the future. But I really like that option. I think a lot of the smarter coaches are using that option, and the league in general is moving away from the whole bell cow model anyway. It's like every running back has a specialty. So, yeah, it's interesting to see guys that come out of nowhere like Philip Lindsay, though. And it's going to make predicting how some of these smaller running backs perform the NFL a lot harder, too.
True. I mean, we've got James White. Patriots model is kind of, I guess, a bit of a prototype for that, how they always use him, the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and always using him in the red zone and effective.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that if you're a coach, you really need to look at the Belichick model and just copy as much of that as possible.
Basically. Well, I'm gonna jump over to one of my teams because I'm gonna ask you for a little help here. I'm trying to make up my mind of who to flex here, and this is a PPR league, and I've got Chris Thompson, got Tyler Boyd, I've got Aaron Jones, and I've got Larry Fitzgerald, and I think you mentioned you had Fitz on your bench in another league as well. I passed up on Nyheim Hines, so that's over. He's locked. Yeah. He's looking like he's going to do all right, but unless he breaks out for a big touchdown or something here, I'm thinking I'm glad I benched him. But again, Thompson, back off of bye. He had that one bad week three. We got Aaron Jones back and looking good. Seems like he's got confidence from the team and the coaches. Tyler Boyd is just on fire right now. Who am I supposed to flex?
Well, I think that the Bengals-Miami game is shaping up to be a low-key shootout. I mean, it's kind of – the Vegas line has gotten a little higher on it. And Boyd could be a real shocker this week. I mean, not necessarily a shocker, but he can maintain his performance.
And a lot of injuries and such on that team right now have almost set it up for him as well. Ross now is out of the picture. AJ Green was a little hobbled last week, and there was kind of questions whether he was going to be more of a diversion than anything. And maybe it looks like we're going to have Mixon back for this game, though.
Yeah, I think the Mixon coming back is a little bit of a wild card there. I don't know if they're going to ease him back in because they had so much success with Bernard. But yeah, going back to Boyd, like you said, with the injuries, it's kind of shaken his way. I mean, everybody knows that they're going to throw to A.J. Green. So Boyd, to me, is going to draw a lot fewer double teams.
And the Dolphins do have that very good cornerback. Going off memory here, I want to say Xavien Howard or something like that, who has been shutting down a lot of number one wide receivers. So you've got that whole narrative going for you. I'll be honest, when I first saw this matchup, it did not scream shootout to me. I know the Patriots blew them out, but the Miami defense has been okay. and a lot of their games have just kind of been, I'm thinking about like their Tennessee game, it's been ugly games.
Right.
So, but they were against bad opponents. So the question is, were they just playing down to the level of their opponent? I don't know. So what makes you think that this will be a shootout?
Well, it's not, it's, you know, it's certainly not the Pittsburgh Atlanta game, but when you look at both defenses and how they've been against the pass, you can really make an argument for a bounce back game for Tannehill and Stills, because right now the Cincinnati secondary, very mediocre. It's surprisingly so mediocre. I mean, you know, they've lost a lot of their personality with, you know, Vontaze Burfict being suspended for a little while. He's back now. So at this point, the only thing is with the Bengals is like, who are they going to hurt this week? So, yeah, I really like to see I'd like to see Stills come back because I have him on my best ball teams. But I think Stills might be an under the radar guy this week just because of that. People really not looking at this game, looking at the Miami Dolphins and saying, their offense is probably dead. I think there's a little more life there on that offense than people give it credit for.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's forgotten about Stills again.
Yeah. For the last couple of years now, he's just been there. He's just, you know, he's just produced. And now that he's the main deep threat on that team, I'm not going to shut him down week four. You know, if I have him, I'm going to look at using him unless I have like two really great wide receivers, I have to cram in.
Yeah. What one bad game against the Patriots does. Everyone forgets about you.
Yeah. But then again, you got to remember it's the Patriots.
Yeah. Sorry, and they know the Dolphins too. So Aaron Jones is playing against Detroit was one of the other options, and I got Chris Thompson. See, I was kind of thinking Chris Thompson myself at New Orleans. I kind of was seeing that as a down game for Peterson and that they'd have to get involved with the passing game with Thompson. Maybe that's a little bit too game script narrative-y.
Well, with Thompson, like you said, he only had the really one bad game. They're going to need to throw to beat the Saints indoors with Breeze looking for a record. I actually like Chris Thompson quite a bit. I don't have him much in cash, and I actually didn't draft him very often in my home leagues and whatnot. So I don't have a ton of him to rely on. And I do have some Aaron Jones, and I really like Aaron Jones against Detroit. But then we're running up into an issue of the possibility of not getting enough carries. It's sort of the Kerryon Johnson model there. I mean, the best back on the team, but they seem to be dedicated to a committee that they don't need to run.
Yeah, as long as I've got other options, I think for now I'll be stashing him. He'll come in handy when I get into some more bye weeks for my other running backs. Larry Fitzgerald is somebody you had on your bench. I have him on my bench. I was happy when I got him in like the fourth round or something in drafts. But I'm hoping he's just dealing with that hamstring and he needs a few weeks here. But what are your thoughts? Is he washed or?
Right now, if I have Larry Fitzgerald, I'm trying to unload him anywhere. Unfortunately, you're not going to have very many takers because that nagging injury. And there is a possibility that he's washed. I mean, I hate to say it. I loved Larry Fitzgerald. And at this point, that's not even really a hot take anymore. I mean, you know, you start wondering, is this the hamstring going to get better or is it just age catching up with him? I think we saw how devastatingly painful a hamstring injury can be to your fantasy performance last year with Cole Beasley. He went from getting about 76 catches the year before to dropping down to like 35 because he could barely play. And so those hamstring injuries are very fickle and almost impossible for anybody not involved with the team to really know how bad they are.
I'm hoping they let him heal.
Yeah, that's the goal. I think, you know, there's really not much. The season's not really going off the way they need it to. They don't need to run him into the ground. I'd like to see him sit until week 8, to be perfectly honest. Give him the Lev Bell vacation.
My optimistic take with him is if you have him, like you said, you're probably not getting value. If you can stash him, I'm hoping that what we saw is a bit of course, his hamstring, But also, we saw how bad that team was through 2.5, 3 weeks with Sam Bradford. And I'm hoping that Josh Rosen and the, just the offense as a whole starting to pick it back up will help to bring out some value in him again when he's healthy. Until then, I just got to let him sit because I can't bring myself to cut him. And like I said, I can't trade him for anything.
Yeah, you put him on the waiver wire. That just feels like, ugh. That's like taking your dog out and shooting him in the yard, you know?
Yeah. It's just
like I just can't bring myself to do it out of respect for the guy.
I've had players that I was just done with, and I was almost like, I was almost glad to drop them to have somebody else tech them because it was like, yes, you know, go poison their team.
Yeah.
Get off of mine. But yeah, I too much respect for Fitz. I just can't do it. I covered most of the guys we were talking about for yours, and that was my big question for my flex. Any other big play? You're saying you play a lot of cash cams. Is anything in particular jump out to you before we go here?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're sticking with cash, the alternate game for me would be that Seattle, the Los Angeles Rams game. That could open up a little bit.
Really?
I do like the Rams in that. Obviously, they're not going up against any kind of passing defense anymore. So I really liked Jared Goff. He's just kind of he's got an amazing amount of weapons to choose from. And he's going to look like a solid 30-point performer every week, at depending on your format, obviously. But at quarterback, he's going to be a steady performer. I'm really big on Jared Goff, and I think this week's a good week for him. I also think that, you look at that wide open offense, and you're getting, obviously you got to look at guys like Woods and Kupp and Cooks, all great options. I'm mixing them into a lot of different leagues this week. The Rams have been fantastic.
The Cooks roller coaster has been quite interesting for owners of him, because it was like, especially if you drafted in the summer, earlier in the summer, before the trade, like I did, I drafted and you're really excited about him, and then next thing you know, he's traded and you're like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then it's just been up and down. And so far, now that the season has been going on, he's been as good as I could have ever hoped.
Yeah, it's the real difference between seeing a team that picks him up just because they can versus a team that actually has a plan for him. And Sean McVay really seems to have a plan for him, and I'm glad that he got picked up by a coach that knows what to do with him.
Right, he's not just Sammy Watkins 2.0, that's for sure. So that's a relief.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I am not a Sammy Watkins believer. So
I do have
he's a good player, but he's not a great player.
I thought Kansas City was actually a pretty good fit for him, and of course now he has something with a hamstring or something with his leg. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I thought that was actually a great situation for him, where he could actually be more of a possession guy. He had been healthy for a couple of years now, but we'll see how that goes. I've got a tight end question here before we go.
Okay.
George Kittle playing Arizona, or Kyle Rudolph playing at Philadelphia? Usually I don't stash two tight ends, but the rest of the league has figured me out, I think. And they're on to my tight end streaming. And everyone has at least one, if not two now. And the options that I used to have are not there anymore. So I think they're on to me. So I've been actually holding on to these two.
Well, I'm looking at Kittle and I'm thinking, well, the relationship with CJ Beathard is really looked good. I mean, obviously they played together in college, so it's nice to see that develop into the pros a little bit. I would probably lean toward Kyle Rudolph, though, because the Eagles haven't been that great in their passing defense, and I really think they're going to concentrate on stopping Diggs and Thielen. So you're going to have that game open up underneath a little bit for Rudolph, and we know that Cousins loves to throw to his tight ends. So at this point, yeah, I'm going with the better overall team. In a situation that can have a little bit of back and forth with the Eagles, I think the Eagles' offense can also exploit the Vikings a little bit, too.
The Eagles have been far better at home, it seems, at least defensively. But you're right, that offense as a whole is going to really stretch them. So maybe I wasn't thinking about it in that sense. In some ways, I'm a little worried about Kittle because he's the only option, and will teams be able to take him away?
Yeah, I think in a lot of games, like cash games and some of the fantasy games, I look at when you got two backup quarterbacks going up against each other, that always squicks me out. So that might be a little bit of it too.
Right, that game could just turn into a dud instead of a shootout.
Yeah, it could turn into a learning experience for both quarterbacks. I mean, they're both young. Right. I mean, they're both good, but the one thing about Arizona that bothers me is it seems like the coach there seems to have a real problem with utilizing his veterans very well. I mean, obviously Fitz is hurt, but you look at what's going on with DJ, and it's like they're complaining that he's not pass blocking enough or as well as he should be, and it's like he's DJ. Just get him the ball. That's a no-brainer. You know, there's no reason for him to be blocking for anyone. He's not a fullback. You know, that's one of those things that's like, okay, do we have a culture issue? Do we have, you know, is DJ parking in the coach's spot during the week? You know, in the assigned lot? I mean, I don't know what's going on. That seems like an odd criticism for such a productive veteran.
It's the end of the game. You're in your game winning or game losing drive, and you've got David Johnson on the sideline because he missed a block.
I mean, that's like, you know, like having Jerry Rice sit on the bench because he didn't perform well in, you know, covering punts or some crap. I mean, you know, so what?
They did seem to utilize him a little bit better though. He got a few targets and catches, so maybe hopefully they start to figure it out.
I think his floor is, you know, the 15 points he's been putting up. Unfortunately, I don't know if that coach is going to bench him for some ridiculous reason. So until I get another couple of weeks of seeing how that relationship gels up, DJ is kind of a, you know, running back two flex option for me. I mean, I'm not sitting him, and I'm probably not going to unload him because I'm never going to get value for a guy like that.
Right. Well, hey, unless you've got anything else, I really appreciate you jumping on with me. Any other players? Otherwise, tell us a little bit about, I mentioned at the beginning, the Quant Edge.
Yeah, the Quant Edge. At the Quant Edge, I personally handle the draft app. We're going to be expanding to basketball here in the next month. Sign up for the Quant Edge with my promo code TQE69, and you get your first month for only $20. You get access to our our premium chat, our tools, which are fantastic. We have great UFC coverage now. We have terrific betting coverage with Justice Mosqueda. And, you know, we're always there available in the chat, me, Elliot, just the whole crew. It's a great setup. I'm proud to be a part of it. And we actually have a giveaway for a Joe Montana signed jersey. So get in on that little thing. You know, you get a... You sign up for the first month and you get five tickets to our raffle for it.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, a Joe Montana signed jersey is actually pretty awesome. I wish I could win it.
There can't be a lot of those around anymore, at least that are up for grabs.
Yeah, I just don't see very many Montanas come across. And it was like Joe Montana was like the first quarterback where I felt like I was cheating on my home team because I loved Joe Montana and I did not care about the Browns that much. When I was a kid. Now I married into more Browns fandom, but yeah, I you know, Joe Montana, I'd rather watch a good team play. I'd rather watch good players. I never really rooted for laundry, so Joe Montana was my guy.
And that chat alone, look, if I was to not be quite so cheap and actually pay for that, that would probably be one of the best parts of it. That would be pretty interesting to get in. So check that out. What was that promo code again?
TQE69.
Great.
I ripped that right off from Ryan Hodge, who I love. He's been a fantastic mentor for me in this business. So it's an homage. I'm not a ripoff, but but most people see the TQE69 like, oh yeah, you see, he's biting off Ryan Hodge. No, it's, you know.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. Short notice. Hope everyone got something out of it. Had some common teams and matchups and decisions to make. And here we go, week 5.
Yep. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. It was awesome.
Yep. Have a good night.
You too.